just now. My kids always make reference and they go, well, The Rock Johnson, the arm wrestler. That's not who that was, if you know of the person I'm speaking of. But when we went to Calgary, Silas, I don't see him at the moment, so I'll use him for an example. Hopefully he doesn't mind. No, it's okay. He had brought along this rock we have. He has named it, but it's like perfectly round. And I was just shocked that he brought it with him. He had it in his bag and he pulled it out. And I'm like, you brought the rock from home? Like, I don't know. It's so big. I don't know how many pounds it is, but it's very, very round. It is a very round rock, abnormally round. So again, the hand of God, how he forms and fashions all things, rocks as well. So if you have your Bibles, you can hold them. We're going to move around at different times and follow through with me. And as I've said before, limber up your fingers if you have to. We might not go too much, too crazy on flipping everywhere, but for some of it we will from time to time. And then I will bring you up a PowerPoint. But while I'm doing this, not you, while I'm getting this ready, there was quite a few things that were pretty neat about the trip that we went on and just the conference. And I don't know what there was, 600 people or something at the conference. That's mostly youth. It wasn't Tim Brokett. It was mostly youth that were there. But it was a very interesting. It's the First Baptist in Calgary. I don't know if there's a bunch of them, but it's an old building, very large. And we ended up going through many rooms of this whole thing afterwards. There's a whole other addition to it, some school thing on the side, and you go underneath and into another area and up in another area. Yeah, it's a pretty amazing place. It would be easy to get lost. You'd just be gone. That'd be the end of you. You'd be stuck in that building forever. And until someone come in a room and needed to use it, and you'd be there crying or whatever may be happening there with that. But the atmosphere was enjoyable with all of them as well. But something that happened that I thought was really interesting. So we're cruising along while Peter was driving. He's driving in, then Rachel was in the van behind with the rest of them and Jen. And we're at this one area. I don't know what the street is. Anyways, in Calgary, we're coming up to where the conference is going to be. And I looked over and there was these two girls walking over towards this other building. And I'm like, man, that's Abigail. So I said, Finn was behind me and I said, there's Abigail. It's a girl that we know. I'll get to that point. So he's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. He said about five times, like, yes, it is. It is her. And then I was trying to think of the other girl's name that was with her, Rebecca. And so they were just walking along, and I'm like, Peter, roll down your window. And then I was kind of, do I start yelling out in Calgary? And then on the corner, too, there was they're not police, but they're peacekeepers or whatever it is. Peace officers, there we go. Peace officers that were on the corner. So do I start yelling out at these young girls from a vehicle? The homeless were all over around in the streets, too. So, yeah, I'm not really sure. Anyway, so we left it, we turned and come around, and then I did run back over to that area, the fence, and then those peace officers were there again, so then I jumped this fence that is the barricade for the the Baptist congregation there for the building, jumped over, and then I asked them, I said, could you yell for those two girls walking up there that they would stop? And as I'm going through my mind, I keep thinking, are these the best options that I'm going about to do what I think is a good plan? And they did. They said, you know, could you stop? And then they saw me and they knew who I was. So I think the peace officers were at peace because it wasn't awkwardly weird. So they come over, and these two girls were at Miller College. They're a few of the teachers that are there. They are some daughters of theirs that Neve and Finn and all of our kids got to know, and they were going to the conference, and we didn't know they were going to be there, and it was just, it was kind of a shock to see them. Saskatchewan people in Alberta and BC people in Alberta, all together, and many other people. There was a lot of people that were at this from all over the place. Different congregations joined together with their youth. And it was really good to be there with them. And the different points that he talked about, and just how the two men wanted to bring across how our culture is moving in the place of that it has different technology, right? And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But the next gen, not more of my kids are, and any other's kids, are being brought up in a generation where media is forefront. And they that's what they know. And often we can make it a negative on them that that's all that they're being presented, but that is what is there for them. That's what they're living in. So now we have to learn, if this is the direction and this is the way things are going, do we cut it off totally or say no to it, and we then can go live in a cave or whatever we decide to do with that? I don't think that's the best option. Or do we figure out the ways that we can work within what is going and how the culture is moving forward? We are to be counterculture as Christians, and we don't need to fall into the traps that are there, but we need to make boundaries for ourselves as well, because sexual immorality, right, can come into place. It's easy access to just open this up and sit right there, and a couple seconds, no one ever knows, and you move on, and a couple seconds another day, and then it becomes an hour, and we can just fill ourselves with what is not beneficial for our hearts and for our minds and for our eyes. But then when we do those negative things like that, it affects so many people around us. And with conflict resolution is one of the things that we're going to, the next point that we're getting into with this, it is important that we are living right in order to deal with conflicts that will come constantly in your life. You can leave this building and there could be a conflict right away. Whatever, or right now there could be a conflict. I don't know, maybe somebody bumps you the wrong way and you start to get irritated, or your wife looks at you funny and you go, why are you looking at me like that? What's wrong? And you start to get a conflict going, whatever it may be. Or your friend looks at you funny. But with coming back to what I was saying with media, it can be used right. And I'm not going to tell you everything that the man said at the conference. But as he was doing that and talking about media and AI, he wanted to get across who these young ones are in light of Christ. Not in light of what man thinks from the flesh, but in light of what God says about them. And it was funny to watch. There was a few people in front of us too. They were scrolling through their phones and they were on Instagram and on Facebook as he was talking. And he said, you will not find your identity within that. You won't find yourselves within that by putting a post that is going to make something about you. You're not going to have the identity of God. And the one girl actually set down her phone as he was talking. So I hope that the Lord does a work on many of those young ones with that, because the media is so forefront with them. It's just there. Our own houses, right here, I have media right in front of me, right behind us. And it can be used well, but we need to be careful on how we use it and how we treat those who are being brought up in a culture with so much media, that we don't downplay them with something that they're brought into, right? We're all born into where God puts us. So that is how the Lord works it out. Some of us are born into poor homes. Some of us are born in other countries. We're born here in this country. So we need to be careful that we don't downplay those being brought up in this culture, but that we come alongside and we give them right direction if we can, as a parent or a grandparent or as a friend, any of that. And my mind is not working right now again with this. Every time you're here, Tim, I can't think of how to present my presentation. I will just think for a second if I can. Yes, but where's to start my PowerPoint? New slide, so. I don't know. Yeah, it's all your fault. Yeah, we'll blame someone. We got to blame someone. Tim. Yeah. Yes, we kick you outside the camp. You are the scapegoat. We send you out. the strange demon out there will get you.
What?
I'm just kidding. Okay. From now my mouse doesn't work. Oh, there it is. Okay. That happened to me yesterday too. Peter was driving the vehicle and I was trying to get my sermon ready and I'm like, where's my mouse? Like, I'm moving the thing and there's no mouse. It's there. So, mouse. Or what? Which? Moose? Mouth. Oh, my mouth is always there. That needs help too. Back to the beginning part. Okay, let's get on to here. This interpersonal relationships. But before we go any further with any of this media stuff, Colossians 3 is where we've been coming from. And as I said before, putting on, putting off. But we don't know what to put off if we don't know what to put on. But we don't know what to put on if we don't know what to put off. And Colossians 3:15 is still the same verse that I'm just expounding from on this, with relationships and peace in the unity of the body of Christ. And I want to read this verse again because I really believe that it's important as we go through this. And it says in Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." I want to do something a little different. Everyone's got different translations. I just want to try this. Let's read this verse together, and everyone read in their translation. And on the count of three, we'll start. I'll go one, two, three, and then start. So, one, two, three. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." Thank you. Okay. I don't know what you said through lots of that, other than I know the scripture here, but at the very end, we heard thankful. So be thankful. How thankful are we, and do we look at how blessed we are? I know we prayed about it before. I know Charlie's brought up a few things here, and a few others were bringing up different things as well themselves, but we can only be thankful truly from the heart, from a true heart, when we understand the peace of God and the work that He's done on our lives, for us then to be able to show others that same effect. And interpersonal relationships, right there. Don't listen to part two and three because I've added many parts to this thing so far. But communication was one we went through within that listening, trust, respect. And then this is, if you remember this, I don't know who was there for this, but when we went through this, Parker was a pastor, and then Spurgeon was another pastor. And Spurgeon had an orphanage, and Spurgeon needed assistance. And one day, Parker commented on the poor living conditions of the children in Spurgeon's orphanage, including their need for food and clothing. But as so often happens, the message was twisted in the telling, right? Someone else brings you something. What's that thing called when you whisper in someone's ear? And then the next person, phone? Telephone, full thing, not just phone, telephone. So when you whisper across, right, and then he gets to the thing and then comes back to the person that first started it, and it's not even close to what it was from the very beginning. That can easily happen too with our own conversations, even if it's just one person. One person says something to the next person. It can happen so quick. So this happened with these men. When it reached Spurgeon's ears, it sounded as though Parker had to criticize the orphanage itself. In response, Spurgeon publicly denounced Parker from his pulpit, and the rebuke made it to the paper. I just love that. I don't love that it happened like that, but that's so extreme. The following Sunday, Spurgeon was away preaching in another city. Many flocked to Parker's church just to see him strike back at Spurgeon. And I can see that happening too. However, Parker did what no one expected. "I understand Dr. Spurgeon is not in his pulpit today, and this is the Sunday they collect for his orphanage. I propose we take the love offering on his behalf." The congregation was deeply moved by his kindness. The ushers then ended up having to take up three plates of offering to care for this orphanage. And it did bring reconciliation through this and through what happened with this. But a few days later, the thing that happened that I love with this, I love it all, but this part, a few days later, there was a knock at Parker's office. He opened the door to find Charles Spurgeon standing there. His eyes were filled with tears. "Parker, you didn't give me what I deserved. You gave me what I needed." And then from that moment, they were brothers in Christ. And how often it is that we end up in situations like that. And on the front of your verse, on the front of your bulletin is this verse that I used for the forefront of this. And it says, "I appeal to you," from 1 Corinthians 1:10. "I appeal to you." Paul is appealing, coming before the Corinthians. "Brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment." I think about this verse often when things go on, whether that's in our congregation within the elders or the board or with people in general, or whether that be in my home or outside of my home or this morning, coming here this morning. I think about this verse often. And Paul said that he appealed to them on behalf of this, that they should agree and that there be no divisions. I mean, that's a perfect world to have absolutely no divisions. We know that things are going to arise, but that's where conflict, that's conflict. It does come up. It's not going to not happen. It'd be pretty boring if we never had any issues, I think, sometimes. It's kind of exciting at times because it brings out what is going on in our hearts, because it shows that the Lord is working within us and on us to glorify Him and to bring glory to us and bringing us back to the image of God that is pure and good and right and true from the beginning of creation. So empathy was the next thing we went through. And then conflict resolution, this right here. Make sure it's still up there for you. Conflicts are a natural part of any relationship. Would everyone agree with that?
Amen.
amen even on it. Effective conflict resolution involves addressing issues calmly. Is everyone calm when they address the conflicts? I heard a ch at this, I think, in there too. No, I would say no. We're not always. I know I'm not always. I can think of many times where I have not been calm. But finding common ground is something that we need to look for within conflicts. Not on common ground of not acting not calm, but on common ground of what would be beneficial for it. Not that you find someone to unite with you on your excitement and your not so great representation or what you were bringing, but to figure out a way to bring peace to situations. So, and the next part here, and working towards mutual beneficial solutions. And I think that example of Parker and Spurgeon was very beautiful, and that's why I use it again, is just that it brought a joining together in the midst of conflict. He could have got up in his pulpit and blasted Spurgeon too. And I know there's many other people besides these two men that have done those things throughout the years. And it's easy to do. But the harder part is to be humble and to see where you need to come to someone and you need to admit the wrong that you have done. But I love that that man, Parker, was there to graciously just love his brother, and that it brought a uniting. We should never want to split with one another because of situations. And I'll hold off, getting excited. So this verse, I'm taking that away from you. You can't look at that one yet. So conflict. I got a little ahead of myself in my notes here. Got excited. And so we need the Lord's help. And I want to pray right now because we didn't start this off with prayer. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for your help and your guidance for us. I just thank you that you take us through conflicts, that you take us through many trials in our life, And I just thank you for this, the many brothers and sisters here today. And I just ask that they would be blessed from your word and that they would be encouraged and uplifted and to be able to live more glorifying in your eyes from the word that they study and from the words that they hear from your word here today. And I thank you that you know exactly what we need and when we need it. And I thank you for the young ones and for all ages that are here. And I just ask that each will be blessed with what they need at the time and the place of where they're at, spiritually and mindfully within the word of God. And I just ask you, give me the words too, Lord, to be able to present this in a way that glorifies you and that you keep me humble and that you keep each of us humble. And you keep us humble before one another, that we would love one another and care for one another in a glorifying way. Thank you, Father, that you know our hearts. Just open our ears and our hearts and our minds together today. In Jesus' name, amen. A verse that I didn't put up there for you, but is Matthew 18, 15 to 17. If you want to flip it open, please do so, and we'll read through that. And as you're looking for it, I'll just start it right now until you get there. It says, if your brother sins against you. Notice the word if. We went through if before. Notice that word. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Verse 16. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Verse 17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. I'm sure we've heard this verse hundreds of times, and it's been referenced for thousands of years. And it is a beautiful verse, and we should take it and we should use it. But I want us to realize at the very beginning, if your brother sins against you, if, because sometimes we can think that someone sinned against us because it's just our opinion of what they think that they did that we don't like. Us not liking something is not sin. God's law proves what is sin and what is not sin. God proves what is sin and not sin. Just like science itself, people think that science proves God, but God proves that science is there for us to understand a little bit of who he is. But God is the one who created everything, and science does not prove who God is. So with the law itself, it is there because God put it in place. And when we don't like something, we cannot put it on someone that they're in sin. And the next thing is that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. So why do we want to weight something on someone just because we think that it should be weighted on them? And I'm not saying that that's what this verse is saying. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And I've done this before. I hope there's many others that have done this. And if you didn't do it well, that's okay. We got to learn. We got to learn on the job, so to speak. But too often it seems that the confronting with this stuff is because people didn't like something that somebody did, so they want to bring that it is sin, and they try to use Scripture to back up what they think. They go, well, Scripture says it. I need to confront you, and I got to bring it to you, and you should listen. This is kind of how it starts to go. You should listen to me, and you need to return whatever you're doing. And then if you don't turn, then they say, well, now I got to bring somebody else in because you didn't turn from what you were doing. Yes, that's true. Slow down, just like my speaking. Sometimes I get excited and I talk really fast. So we need to slow down and just think. How much time have we spent in prayer for this person before we come and bring something to them? How much time have we spent in the Word of God to see what we're bringing to them is even legit, is the question that I have for each of us on this and for my own self. Because it's very easy to see Scripture, one verse, and go, oh, I gotta go. Okay, I'm going to go do that thing. But there's more context even to the whole of the Scripture as well. So something that I love is this verse right here that I have up in the PowerPoint, but you can flip to in your Bibles because you'll most likely have a different translation, as we heard earlier with the noise that was going on as we read that Scripture earlier together. And Matthew 7, 3 to 5, And as you're looking for that,